Well, if you have been a Christian for any length of time, I'm sure you're well aware of the struggle that we go through at times to prioritize in our lives. There may be many things that are coming at us, many things on our agenda, and yet what often happens is that the thing that is most important in the eyes of God sometimes slips down the list and it becomes the least important in our eyes. Well, as we look to Jesus, we see that Jesus was one who had a lot of things on his plate as well. He was a very busy man, especially once he began his public ministry. He had a lot of things coming at him. But so we can be encouraged today that Jesus knows what we're going through. Jesus knows what it is to have a lot of things on his plate. But we can also be challenged in this way, and that is Jesus never got his priorities mixed up. He always did what was the most important thing in the eyes of the Father. I want to look at the priorities of Jesus today, and I'd ask you to take your Bibles, open to Mark chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, there's some under the chairs. If you'd like to follow along, Mark 1, we'll be looking at verses 35 through 39 today. A quick reminder of some of the things that we've already seen so far in the life of Christ. Again, this is early on in his public ministry. We saw last week that Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. And earlier that day, he had cast out a demon from a man. And so the people of Capernaum, they hear about the power and the authority of Christ. And so as soon as the sun set, what happened? They are knocking at the door of Peter's home. And they're saying, Jesus, you know, perhaps they're saying, Jesus, would you heal my mother-in-law as well? Or would you heal my friend? Or would you heal my demon-possessed cat or something like that? Maybe not, that's what they're saying, but I think if Jesus was around today, maybe I'd be asking, we've got a cat that's a little strange, and I might be bringing him to, I think he's got a demon once in a while, but I don't know. But anyway, people were seeking for Jesus. Again, Mark 1:35 says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, everyone is looking for you. Jesus replied, let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so that I can preach there also. That is why I have come. So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Well, one thing that we note as we look at this passage, one priority that Jesus had was to preach, wasn't it? Verse 38, Jesus makes that very clear. He says, that is why I've come, so that I can preach to other villages. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verse 43, Luke adds this detail. He says that Jesus came to preach good news of the kingdom of God. And so what Jesus is saying is, hey, more important than healing people, more important than casting out demons is that I declare the truths of God, that I preach the good news of the kingdom, of who I am and what I have come to do. We'll come back a little later to this point of the priority of Jesus and his preaching, but we see that there's something else that was of the utmost importance to Jesus, wasn't it? What did Jesus do before he began to preach? He did what? He prayed, didn't he? The Bible says he prayed. If you've been in the adult Sunday school class over the past few months, many of us have been challenged to have a deeper, a stronger prayer life. And if you've been in that class, how many of you can attest to the fact that it's much easier said than done, right? It's not such an easy thing to put into practice those things that we are learning. And one reason why that is because we don't do what Jesus was willing to do. I should say what Jesus was not willing to do. Jesus was not willing to let anything take precedence in his life over his time with the Father, over his relationship with the Father. It was a top priority in his life, this communication that he had with God the Father. Now think about it. Jesus had just had a very long Saturday, didn't he? He had to get up that morning. He had to share some of the word of God in synagogue that morning. After that, he goes to Peter's house and he heals his mother-in-law. Then they're hanging out. They're having lunch. Likely Jesus is continuing to minister and pour out his heart to the disciples and those who are in that home that day. And then as soon as the sun sets, what happens? Hey, Jesus, is Jesus in there? Hey, Jesus, would you help us? Can you help us? And who knows how long into the night that Jesus is healing diseases, he's casting out demons, he's helping people. Who knows how long into the night that happened? How easy would it have been for Jesus to say, you know what, Sunday morning, I'm gonna sleep in a little bit. And I'm just gonna make it a day about me. And then what I'm gonna do is Monday when I get up, I'll do a double prayer session to make up for my day I missed the day before. And you may ask, where do you get such logic? Because I tend to think that way, that foolish way at times. And this was not the mind of Christ. He said, yeah, I had a real busy day, but I must meet with the Father. I've got to get intimate with the Father before my day begins. Before I begin to think about preaching or healing, I need to meet with my Heavenly Father. Jesus lived his life completely dependent on the Father, and he relied fully on the power of the Holy Spirit so that he could reach out and touch others. Well, this is a great example for us, isn't it? Before we minister, we too need to pray. And you may say, but I'm not a minister. Pastor, you're the minister. Well, I am. But you know what? You are all ministers as well. Everyone who bears the name of Christ, everyone who is a follower of Christ is a minister. You may work with the young ones, the young children. And you may think, I'm not teaching them any deep theological truths. But you are a minister. You may work with the older ones, maybe the adults. You are a minister. You may come out and work around the church and use your hands. You are a minister. We are all ministers who bear the name of Christ, and we do not need a title to minister. You know why? Because we have the greatest title of all. We are Christians. We belong to Christ. And so he is the one that we're serving. And so the question we need to ask ourselves is this: as you and I minister, are we following in the footsteps of Jesus? Is prayer a top priority in our lives? Before I even begin to hit the keyboard and write out this week's message, am I on my knees? Before you plan a lesson or plan a meeting, are you on your knees? Before you scrub the floor, are you on your knees? And you say, no, but while I'm scrubbing, I'm on my knees, right? What I'm saying is this, does prayer come before everything we do? And you may say, Pastor, that just sounds a little extreme. Do you mean before I come and scrub a toilet or shingle a roof, I should pray? Absolutely. Why? Because prayer gets our focus upon God. With prayer, we focus on his glory and what he's doing and not us. Our lives will then tend to be this way. You know what? I'm scrubbing for Jesus, or I'm teaching for Jesus. I'm preaching for Jesus. I'm visiting for Jesus. I'm singing for Jesus. I'm hammering for Jesus. And one of my favorites, I am burning for Jesus, right? This is all for Jesus. It's not for us. And so without prayer, you know what we'll do? We'll sit back and we'll analyze what we did. But with prayer, we will sit back and we will analyze what God has done and what God is doing. Without prayer, we minister with our strength, but with prayer, we minister through the strength and power of the Holy Spirit. Well, I'd love to be able to stand up here today and say that I've got this down and I do this 24/7. Everything I do, I'm saturated in prayer and I'm just totally in tune with God 24/7. But you know that I'd be lying, right, if I said that. And I'm sure that many of you may find yourself in the same boat. We know in our hearts that we often do not rely on the Lord, and we often do not desire his glory alone. So once again, we need to look to Jesus. What did Jesus do? Verse 35 says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place. You know, for some of us, it may mean that we need to set the alarm clock a little bit earlier, and we need to get up a little early to meet with the Lord. Perhaps others, we just need to find that place. And if you've been in Sunday school, that's been a main thing. Just find a solitary, quiet place with no distractions where you can just meet with the Lord. Remember this, Jesus had strength to minister because he purposed in his heart to meet with the Father. He lived out what Nike promotes, right? Just do it. And he did it. Let me ask you, what in your life needs to be rearranged so that you end up following in the footsteps of Jesus? And if there's something on your mind today, then jot it down right now while it's still in your head and go home and live that out, whatever needs to be changed. Well, as Jesus is in the midst of praying, what happens? The disciples come and say, hey, Jesus, you are in great demand here. People are searching for you. Everybody's looking for you. Well, why was everybody searching for Jesus? Obvious answer, he had been healing many, many people. And so they were out for a healing. And what we see here is that the healing ministry of Jesus was kind of like a double-edged sword, because it was a good thing that he was helping people to get well and to be restored. But on the other hand, his life now became very busy. And it brought kind of a fame, if you will, to his life. And there would be a lot of people tugging on his robe because of his demonstration and his power to heal people. Well, why did Jesus heal people? I know last week we touched on a couple of things. One of the things we saw was that it was because of the compassion of Jesus. Often the scriptures say that Jesus was moved with pity, and then he went ahead and touched someone and healed someone. Jesus had a brokenness in his heart for those that we might call less fortunate, those with infirmities and afflictions and diseases. He was just broken over their situation. And so he was driven to heal by compassion. And the second thing that we saw was that this was evidence of who he was. He was the suffering servant read about in Isaiah chapter 53. But was healing diseases the main reason why Jesus came? Was that the focus of his ministry? It's interesting to see how Jesus replies to the disciples, isn't it? I'm sure the disciples were just flying high. They had seen Jesus do some powerful things, cast out demons, heal people. And they might be thinking, hey, Jesus, this is great. You know what we can do? We can set up a little platform, a little stage for you here in Capernaum. We can maybe sell some tickets. Maybe we can make a little money on the side of this thing. And you can just be healing people all day. We'll just take it all in. And this is going to be good stuff. Jesus, doesn't that sound good? And Jesus says, yeah, that sounds great. Is that what he said? No. What did he say? He said, guys, it's time to move on. Guys, we need to move on. And though Jesus says it's time to move on, he doesn't say, let's move on. And what I want you guys to do is contact all the local synagogues. And you know what? We'll get a band together. I'll jump up on the stage and I'll maybe hit some people in the forehead. And we'll just get all this healing frenzy going on so that people can know who I am, the famous one. No, that's not what Jesus did. Jesus did not say, come on, boys, we're going to take this show on the road. He didn't say that. Jesus was not into sensationalism. Jesus was into preaching the gospel. Verse 38, again, let me remind you of that verse. Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I have come. And if ever there is a verse that we need grounded in our hearts today, in our culture, in our Christianity, especially in America, it is this verse right here. This is why Jesus came, to declare the gospel, to declare who he was. And sadly, in our day, many Christians can get caught up in sensationalism. Many love to experience something where everybody goes, ooh, and ah, You've been at fireworks, right? July 4th, fireworks. What do? We look at the splendor. We say, ooh, ah. And spiritually, some people just like that. Hey, what's the latest, coolest thing? Ooh, ah. Whether we read it on the internet or maybe catch it on TV or better yet in person. And what often happens is that many Christians are in hot pursuit of a, quote, miracle rather than being in hot pursuit of Jesus Christ. And sadly, many charlatans of our day, driven by greed and a life of luxury, dangle the carrot of healing and of prosperity before the eyes of people when they should be dangling or holding out the gospel, holding out the blood-stained cross, self-crucifying cross of Jesus Christ. We must hold that out. Jesus did not heal so that he would have a great following, nor was it ever a means for financial gain. But as I said, he did it, number one, out of compassion, number two, to give evidence of who he was, that suffering servant. And then thirdly, he healed to give weight to the words that he would say. Jesus once in his hometown synagogue got up, took the scroll, and he read this from the prophet Isaiah. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then Jesus sat down, and you know what he said? He said, those words, he said, they're about me. Now, people might have said, well, that's all fine and dandy, Jesus. But what happened after Jesus said this, and then he went out and cast out demons so that the oppressed were set free? What happens after he said that about himself, and then he went and touched the blind and gave them sight? It gave great weight to the words of which he said, of who he was, the truth and the reality that Jesus was the Messiah and the Christ. The miracles of Christ add great weight to the words that he said. Remember what the disciples said? Who is this man, right? That even the wind and the waves obey him. His power gave weight to his words. And what Jesus wanted to share more than anything else was the good news of salvation. Well, as we think about the priority that Jesus placed on telling the good news, even above healings, it ought to stir us to do the very same thing. A top priority in our lives as we converse with people, even more important than what tomorrow's weather is going to be or how the Bills are doing or how the Sabres are doing, even more important than that is Jesus Christ and how he has changed our lives. Now, does that mean that we never pray for others to be healed and others to be strengthened by the Lord? Absolutely not. Not at all. But we must ask ourselves, what good is it if someone gets physically healed, lives another 20 years, dies, and never gets spiritually healed? All they've done is 20 more years of sin. We need to point them to the Savior. We need to point them to the spiritual healing that we all need through the cross of Christ. And so this message of the gospel must be something that we consistently hear and that we want to share with other people. First, we must want to hear it. As we come together in corporate worship, I pray that your desire is to hear the word of God, not to hear some philosophies or some great sayings by someone, but to hear the word of God. And I pray that as a pastor, that each and every day as you leave here, that you would be Sunday, each and every Sunday that you come here, that you would be fed spiritually. That you leave here and it wouldn't feel like you just had some saltine crackers, but that you had some meat and potatoes and you had a good five-course meal and you've been fed spiritually because it is the Word of God that you're being fed with. That God's truths are chomped on and mulled over throughout the day and throughout the week. Well, Paul would tell Timothy this: devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and to teaching. He also said, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. And so as we hear the word, may we never tire of hearing the gospel as well. And you may wonder, you know, just about every week, usually there's a little couple minute snippet of Jesus and what he did on the cross and how we can be saved. And you may wonder, Pastor, do you always have to say that? You know, all the time, every week, I mean, I'm already saved, I already know it. But you know what? We never know. One, two, three, someone that may be here today or who is here each week who has never embraced Jesus Christ. And maybe they've heard it 100 times, but yet never put their faith in Jesus. So as long as I have breath, I will continue to share about the cross of Christ and how we can be saved. Paul said this, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel, if I do not continually hold out the word of life, how to be saved, how to be saved. And so this, as this gospel is shared, if you are ready, if you're saved and you know it, you sing that song in Sunday, if you're saved and you know it, clap your hands, woo-hoo. If you're saved and you know it, then what you can do is while I'm sharing that little snippet about the gospel, you can be praying for anyone in here today who may not know Christ and may not be saved, that they would come to know the Savior the way you do. And secondly and finally, we need to share. We need to share the gospel. Ephesians 4:15 says that we are to speak the truth in love. And this is something that Jesus practiced day in and day out. And as we've been going through the Gospel of Mark together, what has been impressed upon me and my heart so much is just the importance of sharing my faith and the conviction of how I fall so short of doing that consistently, zealously, and passionately for Jesus. It's so important as we learn to hang tight with Jesus so that we can be fishers of men. And you know what? I'm almost positive that every one of you in this room today has enough knowledge to lead someone to Jesus Christ. You know that? You've already got enough. You know enough to share your faith or to share about Jesus. And so the issue is not that we cannot do it. The issue is simply that we don't do it. Isn't that right? For me, I know. I simply don't open my mouth. I don't speak it. But yet, as we look to Jesus, we see that this was a number one priority. Preach the gospel. Share the gospel. Well, today, perhaps there is one of you here who has never trusted in Jesus. Perhaps you've heard about the miracles. You've heard about the cross. Maybe you've been raised in church, but you've just not connected with what the cross means to you. Let me tell you this today, that the cross was much more than just Jesus dying on a cross. You see, it was also our sin, it was my sin, it was your sin that was placed upon him. You see, we're connected to the cross because of our own sin. That means all of my selfishness, all of my greed, all of my lust, all of my lack of love, all of my lack of devotion to God, all of it was placed upon the back of Jesus. And he in his body bore my sins upon the tree so that I could be forgiven and so that you could be forgiven. And Jesus says, simply do these two things. Turn to me and believe. The gospel is, you know what? It is good news. And we need to share it like it's really good news. The gospel is good stuff. Yes, there's bad news. The bad news is this. If we don't have Christ, we're lost, we're dead in our sin, and we're headed to hell. That's bad news, and that's where people are at. But we're here to share the good news, the gospel, that you can be delivered. You can be set free from the bondage, the punishment of sin, when you turn to Jesus and believe in him and trust in him. And so if you haven't done that, turn to him. Trust in him. Embrace him. He is Lord. He is God. He's coming again, and be ready to meet him. Because when he comes again, he's coming as one who will save his people. But if you're not his people, there's judgment to come. So be prepared, as Dennis shared today. Be prepared to meet your God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for the perfect example of Jesus who never once had his priorities mixed up. Lord, he was dependent upon you. He knew how important the message of the cross would be. And Lord, all the glitz and the glamour that came with his power, Lord, was he really pushed that down so that the message would be clearly seen. God, help us to just have our priorities in line. God, forgive me when they're all out of whack, Lord. I do things that just aren't that important. And the things that are important, I fail to do. Father, help us as a people to just keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who's gone before us, who's finished the race. And Lord, just help us to run strong as we try to run the race as well. Give us that strength. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.